Hello, everyone. Welcome to Enterprise Apps and TechEd 2014. Hopefully, you all had a good lunch today. Great topic to listen to as you're kind of relaxing from that post-lunch. My name is John Vensel. I'm a senior program manager with the app model team within Microsoft. I work on the team responsible for apps and all the deployment. Specifically, I focus on enterprise features. Today, I'm going to take you through app deployment in the enterprise and all the parts you need to think to consider when deploying apps in the enterprise. We're going to look at both Windows and Windows Phone. While we look at both of these, we have a very common approach to app deployment and a common set of features. But while they're conceptually the same, we'll actually see many technical differences between the two. I'm going to spend some time navigating through each of those differences, giving you guys the knowledge that you need to successfully deploy apps within your enterprise. So what we'll kind of talk about in the session here is I'll go over an overview of enterprise app deployment. I'll spend some time on the Windows desktop specific features, focusing on all the mechanics of Windows desktop. I'll spend some time doing the exact same thing for Windows Phone. And then I'll spend a little bit of time in a wrap-up telling you of things we're thinking of forward-looking. So enterprise apps. When we think about enterprise apps, we have a typical workflow. It starts with building and testing your app. It's key to understand all the mechanics that you need as you build the app and the things that are available to you while you build these apps. The next thing is readying your apps for deployment. There's generally two things that we need to keep in mind as we ready our apps for deployment. One is just the app itself, whether it's signing or compiling the app. And the other part is actually making sure that your environment is ready from both a client or any kind of distribution tool. Then there's the actual mechanics of deploying the app. We'll spend some time talking about some of the integrated features that MDMs can use, as well as the unmanaged features and how you guys can build upon that when deploying apps. And then there's the ongoing management of your apps. Once the app's deployed, the app isn't done. You're constantly updating and doing other various things to control your enterprise. So we'll cover some of the different scenarios around managing. So the first thing I kind of want to draw on is, as you're building your apps, one of the things to know is you can take advantage of our notification services. If you're building a Windows Runtime app for Windows 8.1, you can register with the Dev Center, get a product family name, and actually light your app up to leverage WNS services. If you're building apps for Windows Phone, you can do this if it's a Silverlight-based app. If you're using an Apex on Windows Phone, at this time, we don't support WNS, mostly because of the way we do signing on the app, and we can't use the PFN generated from the store. So WNS is a great tool as you're building your apps for your enterprise to take advantage of, and it's fully supported on our platforms at this time. So as we've built our app and we're getting our apps ready for employment, the key things we need to look at as we're readying for deployment is app ingestion. If you're actually making an app and pushing it out to public or to the retail Windows catalog, we take care of app ingestion for you. But as you're deploying apps for your company, you're the ones responsible for your ingestion. So that means you need to host it on your own file shares, and you actually need to control the main copy of the app. What we give you the flexibility, though, for your line of business apps is, since you own and control of the app, we let you do more with the app. So for example, if you're actually creating an app for the retail store, there'll be different APIs that we will not allow you to use when you go and publish to the store. When you publish to the store, the certification check will actually reject your app. Since the line of business app isn't ingested through our store and you guys are in control of your apps, we have a more relaxed approach on how we look at those apps. So giving you guys within your environment more flexibility for building those apps. Because we offload the ingestion and the certification of the apps to yourselves, we do make some toolkits available to you to test and check out the apps. On the Windows side, it's the Windows certification kit, and on the phone side, it's the Windows Marketplace test kit. Both of those are critical steps as you're readying your apps for deployment. To download and actually run against. And then you can see what's going on with your app and compare it to if you were to submit it through our retail catalog. Once you've built your app, the next thing you take into account for readying for deployment is getting your clients ready for deployment. As we look at a common approach, both Windows and Windows Phone support MDM managed enrollments. What that is it's the ability for your client to use a common protocol, which is OMADM, to hook up to any kind of management server. So say you're using a product like Windows Intune, both clients support the ability to enroll into Windows Intune, and then Windows Intune can use a common protocol to go and send the app install and deinstall actions to the devices. You can also use these management tools to configure the other various settings. So in the case of Windows Desktop, where you need to push a certificate out to the devices, instead of having to manually go or run scripts on your devices, you can leverage the built-in capabilities of the management tools to deploy the certificates or any other registry keys needed to the devices. So this is a diagram of what it looks like across Windows and Windows Phone, comparing the retail store and line of business app deployment. You'll look on your left side, we have both the ability for the app to install from the Windows Store. In those cases, the client itself connects directly to the Windows Store and downloads the apps. Now, in an enterprise environment, we actually don't have any ability to directly install from the store in an enterprise, so those are really only supported through direct connect with the user's MSA. If you look at the right side of the screen, though, we illustrate how it works for distributing line-of-business apps internally. We have various ways to distribute the apps internally. If you're using a product like a management server, you can upload your apps into your management server and then use something like a company hub, whether it's a custom-built one that you've built for your enterprise, or it's something that your management tool provider has provided itself. And then that company hub can be the interface for your users to go and select their apps. Additionally, in the enterprise line of business case, you can also directly push the apps to the device. So if you don't want your users to have to go and manually install every app, you can do sideline automation over the MDM channels to install these applications. Once the apps are installed across Windows and Windows Phone, we have some different policies to help control what can be done with the apps. From the app policies, we actually have different types of allow and deny lists across Windows and Windows Phone. We also have some other policies that you can use for enterprise app management, specifically around if you want enablement of the store on the devices or if you want Internet Explorer to be used. So both Windows and Windows Phone support varying sets of policies to kind of help manage how your users may interact with apps in addition to the apps that are deployed via the line of business. So I want to dive into the technology specifically and kind of show you what it's like to get your environment ready and actually deploy apps. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time here first on Windows Desktop and focus on what it takes to deploy apps to Windows. So first off, when you're building your app in the past, we didn't have really well documented what you can do in an enterprise. A lot of people want to build their own custom apps, and they want to interact with things like their Win32 processes. I mentioned earlier that we want to give you increased flexibility when you're deploying within your enterprise. So for scenarios where you actually want to reuse some of your existing Win32 code, we allow you, when building and deploying within your enterprise, to do inter-process communication. It's no longer restricted for anything that's sideloaded. So there's two ways to do this. The first way is on the left-hand side, and that's a brokered WinRT component. That's a special component that you can go and deploy to your desktop in addition to your app. This allows the app to talk through the app container to the brokered component and then to your Win32 app. On the right-hand side, you can actually do just local network loopback to talk to your app. When you do local network loopback, you're limited to just one-way communication with any of your Win32 processes. So there's two different flexible options to allow you to reuse that code. So when we take a look at the two different approaches, there's pros and cons to each one. If you look at the brokered WinRT component, this requires Windows 8.1 update. It's all based on the WinRT programming model, and it requires the components to be loaded on demand. When you're using the network loopback, it's actually available on Windows 8. It actually always has worked. We just haven't been publicly discussing it. When we got feedback from developers, we actually wanted to make sure that we were messaging the right things for you guys. So in the scenario of a network loopback, you can also it also requires the service process to always be running. Now, I'm not going to dive a lot into the actual mechanics of building this part of your app, but I just wanted to discuss it to point out the flexibility that we have in the model. And we did a great session at Build earlier this year that's available on demand that's actually an hour-long session on how to reuse that code. So I wanted to call that out. Okay, so once you've built in, you've built your app, you made your app package, and you signed your package, we need to actually ready our devices for deployment. There's a couple different ways that we can enable our, a couple different ways the clients can be enabled for sideloading. If you're using Windows Pro or Windows Enterprise Edition, and the device is domain joined running Windows 8.1 update, all you need to do is enable a group policy, and sideloading is active. If you're using Windows Pro or Windows Enterprise in a workgroup environment, you need to install a 25-character license key to enable sideloading. In addition to that license key, you also need to enable a group policy. Once you've enabled the device for sideloading, you need to install the certificate in the trusted root authority. So just opening the device for sideloading doesn't allow you to install all your applications. We actually need to have a trust on the box with the apps that we're installing. And by putting the certificate in the trusted root authority, you're giving the device the rights, the trust rights to run that application. And then for anyone that wasn't aware, earlier this year, the sideloading keys that we had are, the sideloading keys that you need for unlocks, we were making them more flexible to get. If you're a volume license or an enterprise agreement customer, I believe they're now zero cost. So in the past, you used to have to buy these expensive key packs, and it was a big cost to unlock your device. We've lessened the burden on you guys, and we're making it really flexible to go and get those sideloading keys. OK, once we've got our device ready for deployment, we actually want to go and deploy our apps. There's two different ways that you can deploy apps on Windows. There's installation, which is actually installing and registering the app per user. That works in the user context as long as that certificate and the certificates in the trusted root and the device has been unlocked. It doesn't require any additional administrator permissions. And then the second way is provisioning. Provisioning is mostly around image-based deployments. So if you're building some line of business apps, maybe you have your expense account or maybe your HR app, and you want to put that into your custom Windows image, you'd use the provisioning method. What the provisioning method does is it registers the application for the computer, and everyone that logs onto the device or any user that had previously logged onto the device will get that app automatically registered to them. To provision apps, though, it is a sideload-only feature, so you can't provision apps from the store. If someone needs an app from the store, you actually need to just go and buy it and install it. It also does require elevated administrator rights. But it can be prepped into a custom image. So most of these scenarios are around building that custom Windows image for your environment. And this is the way that you can do it to make it easy for your users to get apps. From both sides, they can be installed using PowerShell commandlets. The installation scenarios are fully supported with our MDMs. So if you're using the MDM agent within Windows, it has full support for installing apps. It does not have support for provisioning apps. Also, provisioning apps is supported from DSM in an offline scenario. So maybe you've created your custom Windows image and you want to go change or update an app. You can go and mount that Windows image and use DSM to update, remove, or add an application. So if we wanted to deploy with PowerShell, there's a few different commands. We have the ability to do our typical add, get, and remove of the appex. If you guys are doing any kind of custom scripting, maybe you're building your own solutions, or you have some automated processes in place, we also have ways to get information about the success of the app installation, so getting the last error, or getting the logs. We also have full PowerShell support, as I mentioned, for the provisioning of packages. So maybe you're automating your build process to create your custom Windows image. We have full support within PowerShell to go add those apps into the image. Okay, so I spent a little bit of time kind of talking through it. I actually wanted to walk through what it's like to deploy apps on Windows. So I'm going to take a couple minutes and walk through some demos on deploying apps. All right, so right here I have a Windows 8.1 device running Windows Enterprise Edition with the 8.1 update installed. For my PowerShell prompt here, I can just run an add apex package and then put a path to my package. And I just have a test app here, which does a user consent verify. I took out of the SDK. Oops. Maybe. OK. And then I run the PowerShell command. And actually, I have a failure here. What I haven't done, even though I've enabled my device for sideloading, I haven't installed that certificate in the trusted root authority like I had mentioned. So it's giving me the error saying, hey, I cannot install this application because I don't trust it. So I'm going to go browse, and I happen to have the certificate here. So I'm going to go and install the certificate. And I install it to the local machine. Like I said, it has to go into the trusted root certification authority. So I'll add the certificate there. We can see my import was successful. And I'm going to go back and rerun my command. OK. And I accidentally put an app locker policy in place that blocks me from running this. So let me. Oh, sorry, I didn't enable the group policy. That was my mistake there. So I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to actually enable the group policy. So I said there was three things we had to do: enable the device for sideloading, enable group policy, and add the certificate. So right here in the group policy management console, we have this policy here that's all allow all trusted apps to install. That needs to be configured. That can also just be a registry key that you deploy to your clients. So in this case, I actually exported the registry key. And it's just it's a simple software policy in the registry key. And then I'll try this one more time. And I still do have my, OK. Failure on my part here. I think I still have a policy in place that's blocking me. Try this one more time. OK, and there we have success. So if I go to my start screen here, scroll down, I can sort by date installed. And I have my app installed. Now, at any point, if I want to go and get a quick inventory of my apps, I said we support the ability to get our apps, so I can run get apex package. It'll show me a list of all my apps installed and information about my apps. This will include information about the dependencies that the apps need. So if you need to update something like ONJS framework or the VC libs, you can understand what apps would be affected by that. You can also run various queries with PowerShell to, you know, check for a specific app or check for apps for all users. I can also remove an app, so through the PowerShell commandlet, and just do a remove appx package, and like I said, pick any app to remove. I also mentioned that we allow provision packages. If I do a git appx provision package, with the online switch, it'll show me everything that's been provisioned on the box. By default, there's a handful of apps in the Windows image that are already provisioned. And you can see those through my display here. Things like the Windows Scanner, the Windows Sound Recorder, the Xbox games, and various other things. So it's really easy to actually use PowerShell to deploy your apps. We make it really simple. Just a couple of prereqs that you need to have in place before you actually can deploy those apps. OK, one of the things that I, like I just mentioned, is we do pre-install some of the apps in the image. Since we don't have support to install apps from the store within your enterprise, but we do give you a handful of store apps in the Windows image, it actually creates an issue in enterprises. One of the things that we've done is we've actually enabled, through WSUS, a new feature to service these pre-installed apps. What this allows us to do is we can go and publish an update to this app through the WSUS channel, and you guys can sync WSUS and deploy these updates. So for Windows 8 and 8.1, there's a handful of apps, like 17 or so, that have been updated and will be updated through regular cadences using WSUS. Again, this is for all the inbox apps, so things that you see, like if you're using any of the maybe the music app or the reading app, those are all available, and they're all available for update via WSUS on a per-app basis. So you can selectively pick which ones you want to update within your enterprise. And there's a link to the KB. We do have a one-time update published for every Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 app. So if you're using WSUS today, they'll actually get synced through the normal update channel, and they'll just show up as an update for Windows. So once we've deployed our apps, we've updated our apps, the other thing we need to think about is just different types of ways we can manage our apps. We do know that customers are using apps from our Windows Store within their enterprise. It might be something like a Microsoft Dynamics app or maybe some other app that you use for running your business. One of the things that we got feedback from customers on and we introduced into Windows 8.1 was the ability to extend URIs. What a URI is, it's basically the server location of where your app needs to talk. For Windows Store apps, when they go through the certification process, the URIs need to be declared, which creates a problem if you're using a product like Microsoft Dynamics, where you might actually have some on-premise infrastructure you want to talk to. So there's a feature in Windows 8.1 through group policy that allows you to extend these URIs. You go through your group policy, and you can add specific URIs to the list. You can add them with a wildcard, so if I wanted to do something like star.contoso.com, I can just allow any app to talk to any URI within my enterprise. And it's managed on a per-device basis. So you have one setting for the entire device, and if multiple apps need an extended URI, it'll be able to take advantage of this. The other thing we need to kind of look at as we're doing managing apps is potential restricting apps. When you're in an enterprise, you might, like I said, be actually using the store to get apps. Like I said, Dynamics was one of the cases I know some people use. Links available in the store, it's another great example. So you'll want to potentially turn the store on, but then you'll want to restrict what can be installed from the store. And using allow and deny lists with AppLocker allows us to do that type of thing. Allow and deny lists give us a single rule to control the app. So anyone who's used AppLocker for Windows Win32 apps, you kind of have to control the exes and individual files. When you're using a modern app, it's actually controlled at the package level, so it's a real easy interface to kind of use. And it can be done via group policy, or it can be done using PowerShell scripts as well. And I've detailed out a few of the PowerShell scripts that we have. to actually use and manage AppLocker. So I'm going to take some time here, and I'm just going to walk through a quick demo of kind of how AppLocker works and how easy it is to create these allow and deny lists for your apps. Okay, so I'm in my local group policy management console here. If I go into computer configuration, window setting, under security, and then app control policies, we have AppLocker buried down there. And then there's a few different rules for AppLocker. When you're managing modern apps with AppLocker, use this packaged app rules section of the AppLocker. So the UI is actually makes it really easy for people to create lists. If I go into my UI here, it asks me right away, hey, do I want to create an allow list or a deny list? So you might think, what's the difference or how do I know which one to create? If you create an allow list, it inherently denies all apps except for the ones that are on the allow list. If you create a deny list, it allows all the apps except for the ones on the deny list. So generally in an enterprise, depending on how rigid you are with your security, you might go the route of a deny list where you want to deny things like, you know, maybe too many people are playing a casual game and you want to put a deny on that. Or if you are a little bit more rigid of an environment, you can create an allow list. The allow list basically means every single app that you want to install has to be declared in the list. So I'm going to, just for the sake of this, create an allow list. Actually, let me do a deny. It's a little bit easier. We make it easy to actually just go and browse and use a reference system as a package. So there's two ways when you're creating this list. I can either have a reference system that has the app installed and just browse through a UI to create the rule. Or in a scenario where maybe you don't have the app installed, you just want to block it, you can actually just manually enter the information in. For the demo here, I'm just going to kind of browse the list. We can see here a list of all the modern apps installed on my device. So I'm just going to grab probably the Bing Sports app and add that to the list. I can customize the values. Like in this scenario, I can actually do things like a wildcard where instead of maybe just the Bing Sports, I can say, hey, everything that's Bing I want to deny just by putting an asterisk in there. I can also deny specific package versions. So in this case, it browsed and I had the 3.0.2.2.3.3. I can deny that and everything and above. I can do an exact version, or maybe I can just say, hey, I want everyone at a minimum baseline, so I want to deny anything below this level. Okay. Once I've actually picked the app I want to deny, I can actually do exceptions to the rule. So as I was doing this demo here, I said I'm going to block everything that's Microsoft Bing and then wildcarded everything after Bing. So we'd block Bing Sports, Bing's Travel, and Bing Weather. But maybe I want my users to still actually use the Weather app. So I can actually, maybe it's the Finance app because the other one's not Bing. Oh, yeah, it is. Never mind. Sorry. So I can grab the Bing Weather app. And now this rule will actually create a deny for everything Bing except the Weather app. So users can still use that Weather app. And then it just gives me a name for my rule. And then once I hit Create, everything's ready to go. So if I go to my desktop here and I try to launch the Sports app, you'll see the banner bar saying, hey, your administrator has blocked this app. Now, in this case, I've already had the Sports app installed in my system, so I'm not allowing the app to run anymore. In a scenario where I've actually deployed this deny list and the app hasn't been installed yet, we'll actually block the installation of an app, so the user won't even get as far as being able to launch the app and get the deny. So I mentioned a while ago we had some PowerShell command scripts. With PowerShell, we give you the ability to go and import and export different AppLocker policies. So I've actually pre-created an AppLocker policy here. What this is it's actually another type of deny list. In this case, it's denying Xbox games and all the Bing apps. And it's denied for everyone. And I can just go into PowerShell here and say set AppLocker policy. And then XML policy. Browse to my folder. And it went in and updated my policy. So you should be able to browse over here. I think I had the same name and I overwrote my existing policy. Oops. Okay. But it's easy to do that right through the command shell. I can also, just if I'm troubleshooting a device, get the app locker policy. The effective policy, and then I can export it as XML to a location, and then I can see what's kind of going on for it. As part of a demo here. So. And it's not pretty formatted, but if you pull it up in an actual XML editor, you know, obviously it's easier to read. But this shows me the effective policy on a system. So if you're ever getting like collisions with AppLocker policies, it's really easy to kind of troubleshoot and see what's going on with the device. OK, now I'm going to transition over to Windows Phone and kind of talk a little bit about the mechanics of getting ready and deploying apps on Windows Phone. What's different with Windows Phone over the Windows regular client is we require a very specific cert to deploy apps. So when I talked about Windows Desktop, I mentioned you needed to enable a sideloading policy and either have a domain join SKU or use a 25-digit license key. To unlock it. It's very different on Windows Phone. We actually have you go and acquire a semantic certificate that's tied to your organization. And at that point, you're going to create a token called an app enrollment token to deploy. So first, we're going to acquire our certificate. You go into DevCenter. You need to make sure that you're set up as a company account. You'll register your publisher name that'll be displayed on any of your devices. So as you're installing apps for your users, your publisher name will be reflective of what is actually displayed on your phone. We'll give you a semantic ID that you'll take over to Semantic and input into their certificate wizard. And then it should match your email address on your DevCenter account. So we kick off the workflow from within our UI. But Semantic's the actual company that delivers the certificate for you. So it's a one-year certificate, and they're the ones that own the issuance of it. And then when you actually go and create the certificate request needs to be started and finished on the same device because it actually does a certificate signing request. And it needs to close loop on the same device that issued it. So when you're doing this, I've actually worked with a couple of companies that maybe the executive started it, and then he went on vacation, and they couldn't complete their acquiring their certificate. So again, you just need to have a company account from Microsoft, and then you just take that information over Semantic, and they'll issue you a certificate. Okay. So what does the certificate look like? Looks like a typical certificate. There's a few key things we want to kind of call out as we're looking at the certificate. First off, the publisher ID. The publisher ID and the publisher name map over one for one. The issuer of your certificate should always be a Semantic Enterprise Mobile CA from Microsoft. Again, I said it was a very specific Semantic cert, so if you just get a regular Semantic cert issued, it will not work for this. The validity period is good for 1 year. And then because we issue this specific semantic cert, we actually have an EKU tied to it, which helps with the trust model. So that's the EKU that you'd actually see when you're looking at the certificate. OK, Once you've got your certificate, there's a few different ways that you can kind of think about you want to go deploy your apps. The first way is a managed method. There's both managed and unmanaged supported on phone. We don't necessarily have the scripting support like we do on Windows Desktop. It's the nature of the mobile OS. If you're doing something like a managed deployment, you can enroll in an MDM. You can use something like Windows Intune or another MDM provider. It'll allow you to actually get extra functionality that you can't do through the unmanaged. You could do things like pushing app installs. So you can silently push app installs to users. You can silently uninstall apps from users. And you can push updates. It allows you to push down the unlock token to the device silently, as opposed to having users kind of manually intervene. If you're doing the unmanaged, though, we do have full support to get your apps on your device without using an MDM. You could do something as simple as emailing the app to a user, and they can kind of double-click and install it. Or you can write your own company hub, which is it's basically a Silverlight app that can install apps, so it can call in and install other apps that are tied to the same certificate. So I just wanted to call out another session we did earlier this year at Build. One of my peers, Catherine Holdsworth, she actually spent a good hour long on all the manageability that we have across Windows Phone. So there's a good session to kind of check out if you're interested in that as well. So I want to walk through a little bit of the app enrollment and what it takes to get the app token on the device. So first of all, once you get that semantic certificate, we actually have a tool called an AET generator, which generates an app enrollment token. The app enrollment token is what unlocks the device. It's basically a signed XML document that gets pushed down to the device. Its validity period is equal to that of the certificate that was used to generate it. So that semantic cert that's good for a year, it'll map the same expiration to that certificate. What you do is you create the AET, and then you can either email it, and someone can click on that link through a shell handler. You can host it on a website, so someone can go to a browser and download it, and then you can push it via an MDM. Once that AET gets on the device, we have a service called the Enterprise Service that registers it, and any app that's been signed with that same certificate can now be installed on that device without any problems. So I talked a little bit about Company Hub in the previous slide. For anyone that's not using a product like Windows Intune and wants to make it really easy for your users to install apps, you can make your own Silverlight app that does functionality for app install. It's called the Company Hub. We actually have a couple good blogs documenting how to write a Company Hub and how you can customize it for your environment. In Windows 8.1, we had a very small subset of things you can do with the Company Hub. In Windows Phone, so Windows Phone 8, we had a small subset. In Windows Phone 8.1, we actually went and extended that. As you can see, there's four new things that we can do. We can get all the enterprise metadata. We can do an automatic enterprise renewal of that enrollment token. We allow you to unroll. So maybe when you're deleting the Company Hub, maybe someone uninstalls it, you want to unroll. Or you can trigger a phone home. And I'll talk a little bit about the phone home feature in a slide coming up here. I mentioned Company Hubs must be Silverlight apps. So Company Hub needs to be a Silverlight app, but it can deploy Silverlight or APEX. So depending on the type of apps you're writing for Windows Phone, it will handle any kind of deployment of an app, but the Company Hub itself is limited to running as a Silverlight. And I mentioned there was a couple good blogs. Here's a great example on MSDN from Tony Champion that really walks through what it takes to build a Company Hub. So anyone kind of interested in going that route, this is a great article to kind of read up on. Okay, so when we're building our apps and we're signing our apps, one of the key things to keep in mind is the publisher. Since you have this very specific semantic cert, we need to map that certificate to how the publisher is in the manifest. So if we look at our information in our certificate, it maps directly to the publisher. So you go and you just copy and paste everything from the certificate, and you can just put it right into your app manifest XML when you're building an APEX. And this needs to be this way. Otherwise, when you sign an app, it'll fail. So it's critical for the code integrity to make sure that your signing cert matches matches your publisher, which is the publisher listed in the semantic certificate. Okay. If you're building a company hub app, the publisher ID has to be in the WM app manifest, and the manifest, again, must match the certificate. So again, there's the publisher ID, and from the certificate, it's the GUID of the publisher ID. All right, so once we've actually created our app, and we've gone ahead and we've signed our app, and we have it all ready for deployment, and we've deployed our app enrollment token, it's time to deploy our app. So we can deploy Zaps or Apex on Windows Phone. So if you're building Zap or Apex, it has the exact same deployment workflow. If we're using a company hub app, we can use that app to download the other app. Or again, we can use something like an MDM or an email browser or email or a browser to deploy that app. The app itself is delivered to the phone over an authenticated channel if it's MDM. If you're delivering apps over email, we always recommend that you send those via like a DRM, just so your apps don't leak out. But again, it has that same workflow that we have for our app enrollment token, where it just installs via our enterprise service. When we do the install, we actually verify that the app has the app enrollment token installed. So much like when we were looking for that trusted root certificate on Windows desktop, when we do an app install, we check first to see if there's an enrollment token there. And if the Windows Phone app has been signed by a token that hasn't been deployed, we'll actually go ahead and fail deployment and tell the user when we're trying to install it. If it's over an MDM channel, we'll return the error code to the MDM. So I mentioned, just like on the Windows desktop, app ingestion and certification is owned exclusively by the enterprise. You guys are hosting the apps. You guys are the ones responsible for certifying and making sure that the applications run. Since they're not submitted to the store, you're responsible for the quality. We do offer the marketplace test kits. So that's the same thing that we'd run for the certification check when we submit it to the store. All those test kits are downloadable for you guys, and you can actually run those kits and figure out if there's perf problems, invalid APIs, or whatnot with your app. So giving you the ability to run that same type of integrity check on your apps before you go and deploy them. Capabilities for the Windows Phone apps are limited to the same ones that you get via the store. So we're in the desktop world, we give you a little bit more flexibility. We don't have that flexibility at this time. So if your certificate doesn't enable you for the capabilities, when you try to install the app, we'll actually fail the installation of the app. One other thing to kind of call out is you guys have to own the consent acceptance when you're deploying apps, if you're doing something like a company hub API. If you've gone through the Windows Phone Store and you actually install an app, you'll get the prompt that says, hey, this app wants to use location or wants to access photos. When you're deploying via line of business app means, we don't kick those prompts for you. So your app, when you launch, should be prompting for the user approval. In some countries, that's a requirement by law as well. So something to kind of keep in mind that you won't get that when you're doing the enterprise line of business deployment, like it comes free with the Windows Store. Okay, I talked a little bit about the need for the app enrollment token at deployment time. So when you go and deploy the app, we'll check for an app enrollment token. We do a very similar workflow at app launch. So user launches an app in an enterprise via the shell, or maybe you're launching it via an API. The app calls into execution manager. Our execution manager actually goes into the enterprise service. It checks to see if that publisher ID is valid and associated with an AET. As long as there's a valid AET on the device, the app will launch. If there's no AET or maybe the AET has been revoked, then the app won't run and it'll fail. Like I said, it must be present, valid, not expired, revoked, or disabled. A reminder, it is, again, tied to that one-year life cycle of your certificate. So keep in mind when you're planning all your deployments that when a certificate renewal comes up that you need to deploy the new version of the certificate. You can, if you're doing unmanaged means, install multiple certificates side by side. If you're deploying over an MDM, you are limited to one app enrollment token per MDM. So you might have to go and just replace your existing one earlier to make sure that you don't have any failed deployments. I talked about this a couple slides ago, or I mentioned it, the phone home service. One of the things that's also different on Windows Phone is the requirement to connect to Microsoft connectivity. We have a vetted semantic cert that you guys buy. We need to validate that the certificate on the device is valid before we'll install apps. What we need to do is we need to actually report a phone home every 7 days. So the phone itself will actually call into the Windows Phone services. It sends the device ID, the publisher, and information about the enterprise apps. The Windows Phone services will actually check for the status of each enterprise. So in the event, like maybe your cert's been compromised and you've asked us to revoke it, we'll send out a revocation and invalidate that cert, and the apps will stop running. If there's also any kind of piracy that's gone on where maybe a cert's been abused and people are pirating apps, we could also revoke in that kind of situation. Once that cert's been revoked, all the existing apps on the device will no longer launch. And of course, any new apps trying to be installed will be blocked from being installed. It runs daily, plus when you enroll. So when we say enroll, it's when you install that AET for the first time. So you go and install that AET, we'll actually try to do a phone home to make sure it's a valid one that's being installed. And then every day, subsequent day, we'll try to phone home. If we don't phone home within 7 days, we'll block all future installs until we get a successful phone home. So it is a requirement that we need to connect to the service. Like I said, it needs to happen once within 7 days. If for some reason you go 8 or 9 days, you're just blocked from app install. You are not blocked from running the apps that are currently installed on the device. Also, once the device does phone home again, it'll reactivate the ability to install apps. So if you had a problem connecting, you go 10 days, and you fail to, fail the phone home, you'll be blocked on those new installs. But if 3 days later you connect to the internet and you contact the service, the block will be removed and you can install new apps at that point. Okay. So I just want to walk through real quick here and just show a demo of deploying apps on Windows Phone. Okay, so I have my Windows Phone emulator here. Just get rid of all this junk. I'm going to show an unmanaged deployment. So what I've done is I have an email account here, and I mailed myself a couple demo apps. I'm like, hey, these might be some cool things to install. I've actually mailed myself a zap file, an apex file, and the app enrollment token. So at this point, I don't actually have the app enrollment token installed on the device. But I'm going to try to install an app anyways. So I click on the app. Hold on one second. I think I need to get some connectivity. Hold on one sec. Okay, sorry about that. So I need to download my email message. I didn't get that prepped in advance. Okay, so I've downloaded my zap file and my email. I try to launch it, and it'll tell me I can't install my company app. Like I mentioned, it will tell you the company that the app relates to. So when we showed you that first screen inside DevCenter that shows your publisher name, you can see my publisher here is Contoso One Inc. And I'm missing my app enrollment token to install this app. So I'm going to go back to my email message here. I'm going to grab my app enrollment token. I'm going to launch it. It's going to say, hey, do you trust this? So because it's user initiated and it's not pushed by an MDM, we want to make sure that the user has consent. So I'll go ahead and add this. Okay, so now my app enrollment token has been installed. In the background, I'm actually trying to connect to the phone home service. I'm going to try again to install the app. And success. So if I go back to my start screen here, I should have my Contoso app. And it was a enterprise coffee app that I can just kind of go launch, and there we go. If I go back into my email, I also have an Apex there. The Apex itself is signed with the same certificate. So I've already installed the app enrollment token once. I can install any apps now that have been signed with that same certificate. So I can just click on the Apex here and click install, and that should be installed as well. And there's my other Contoso One Apex. So real easy way to do some unmanaged deployments if you're not doing an MDM. Additionally, like I said, you can build your own custom company hub that you can use as an interface. So if you want to build your own little like company portal, you can build that, deploy that to your users, and you can use that to kind of host and install your applications. Okay, so I mentioned we do a phone home to Microsoft, and there's always a little bit of concern when devices are connected to a Microsoft service sending information back. I just wanted to kind of call out what the phone home does and kind of how the protocol works. So here's a sample XML document. What we send is the device ID, which is just a GUID, the publisher ID, and in this case, there's two app enrollment tokens installed on the sample device. So each one's a publisher ID that maps to each token. And then we have the enrolled applications. So with the first AET, I have two apps enrolled. And with the second one, I have three apps enrolled. There's actually no personal information that's being sent back up. It's all just GUIDs that we're passing back. And then also, at the bottom there, you can see there's a tracking ID, which is just a reference to the request. Once you've actually sent it back, we send down a response based on the information. From here, we sent a response back that says, hey, we know that the first publisher was good, but the second one was revoked. At that point, we just send back the publisher status with invalid. We'll go into our enterprise service and disable the token or revoke it. And then any apps, when this comes back invalid, that have been installed that correlate to that AET will no longer run, and all new deployments will be blocked. Very similar to AppLocker on Windows Desktop, we allow the ability to restrict apps. We have a little bit simpler way. It's just called an allow or deny list. It's an XML document that you push to the devices. If you're using something like a Company Hub API or Company Hub, you can actually just have that installed via the Company Hub. If you're using an MDM, you can just seamlessly push it. Again, when you're doing allow and deny lists, you want to use a deny list when it's the list of apps you want to block. So maybe there's three or four apps you just don't want in your enterprise. A deny list makes it really easy. If you're doing an allow list, it's a very specific set of apps that can only run in your enterprise. So maybe your retail store and you're using Windows Phone and you really just want two apps that are used for checkout, you can just create an allow list with those two apps that maybe scan credit cards and check for inventory. So I have a sample of what a deny list would look like. Like I said, you can deny specific apps. In this case, I denied like a games app, a sports app, and maybe a social media app. You can also deny a publisher. So in this case, I blocked everything from Contoso. When I block a publisher, though, I can do some exceptions to the rule. So for here, I've blocked Contoso, but I'm going to allow two of their apps, which is an expense app and an audio app. But anything else from Contoso, I don't want to install. So there's a little bit of flexibility in how you can kind of run those deny lists. And the same thing for the allow list. If I was creating an allow list that says allow Contoso, I can say allow Contoso except for maybe their game if they produced a game. So pretty straightforward and kind of and simple there. So that was deploying and managing apps across Windows and Windows Phone for 8.1. As I wrap up, I want to talk about a couple of the things we're forward thinking and trying to look at. So as we're looking forward to Windows 10 and beyond, our big thing on our plate is a converged method for app deployment. It's kind of disjointed as we kind of talk through the workflows. On Windows Phone, we have this AET. On Windows Desktop, we have, you know, certificates. It's not really easy for me to do both of the same things. I can't, like, say, hey, I just want my users to get apps. We're working really hard to build universal apps so that you can build one app and use it across all your devices. But then when it comes down to deployment, we have a really busted story. So we're looking at how we can converge that and make it a common model across all the different platforms. So whether you're using Windows Phone or Windows Desktop, it'll be the exact same workflow and technical way to go and install the apps. We're looking into app management of store apps. You heard me mention a couple times that you're really limited on what you can do on acquiring apps from the store. It's limited to, you know, manually having a user go into the Windows Store app, using their MSA, and it's really a one-for-one purchase tied to a private identity. We're working really hard to light up scenarios that allow you as an enterprise to actually purchase apps in bulk and distribute those apps to your users. We're also looking at things to do better app and data protection. We know security and security around your data is really important. So we're looking at ways that we can protect that data and make our apps more secure within your enterprise. And then we're just going through a backlog of lots of customer features and asks and really just trying to improve our story. We know that Win32 is super flexible in what you guys could do, and we're trying to add that flexibility to the modern platform as well. Oh, and then lastly, more policies and settings. One of the things I didn't dive a lot in this session, because it's really just an eye chart, is the types of settings that you can manage on the device, whether they're app-specific or non-app-specific. It's very different across Windows and Windows Phone. A great example is on Windows Desktop, if you're using MDM, I can't disable the Windows Store. So if you're trying to enterprise manage a device, the store will always be active, and you actually have to run a custom script off to the side or use group policy or something to disable it. But then Windows Phone offers that policy as one of the ones that you can support over MDM. So we're trying to converge that policy set and expand it out. We know a lot of people want to leverage things like MDM products because they're a little bit more lightweight and easier to use. We're trying to add a lot of flexibility into our platform to kind of extend for you guys. Okay. So that's kind of everything. I can take some questions at the end. There's a few Windows resources. I believe there's a couple Windows 10 sessions going on too. One specifically on manageability that Mike Niehaus is presenting. I recommend going check that out. Some information on MDOP, Windows to Go, and IE. I've also added some resources in the deck that just walk you through AppLocker step by step, how to use notification services, Windows sideloading, along with the Windows Phone stuff. We mentioned the blog earlier. If you're interested in hooking up to an MDM, there's a white paper on what it takes to build an MDM or just company app distribution as a whole. I did mention two build sessions from earlier this year, depending on if you're a developer or you're just an IT pro doing management. They're both great sessions to check out if they're relevant to the work that you do. And as always, remember to fill out your evals. If anyone has any questions, we have a mic over there. Okay, well, thank you all. Have a good week.